But here's what really creates the stress. All human beings share the same fears. The primary fears of all human beings are the following. Number one, that we're not enough. And number two, that we won't be loved. And let me explain to you why. I kind of started into this on one of the earlier tapes. I don't know if you recall, but let me give you a little reminder. Every human being who's ever been to therapy knows that something happened at some stage of their life that made them feel like they're not significant or they may not be loved, and they live with that fear forever. You don't need to go to a therapist. Let me just tell you, you've got lots of those experiences. And the reason is because human beings have something rather unique in their makeup. It has to do with the way in which we're raised. In the animal kingdom, most animals are not dependent upon another animal, whether it be a mother, father, brother, or sister. They're not totally dependent upon another animal for a long period of time. If you're a bird, you're kicked out of the nest in a few days or a few weeks. If you're a snake, you know, you're a turtle, you're dropped off and you fend for yourself in the first moment. There's nobody around. You got to step up, right? But if you're a human being, you're one of the few creatures on Earth, like primates, that's one of the other creatures like this, that have a long period of time in which your survival revolves around a total dependency upon another human being putting your needs ahead of their own. See, as human beings, we weren't born with some special venom or special incisored teeth or claws. Our evolutionary advantage is our ability to relate to each other, to share, and through that, to share ideas, thoughts, feelings, emotions, and produce an extraordinary advantage in life. That's why we as a species have flourished. But you know what? Leave us alone, and how do we do? If a baby is left alone, it dies. A human baby. Why? They get something called failure to thrive syndrome. If a baby is not stroked, isn't physically loved, isn't given, as the doctors say, tactile stimulation, also known as love, then the baby has failure to thrive syndrome. They can't explain it. The baby dies. Love is a need that is so deep within us. It is a survival instinct, and without it, we die. That's how important it is. But here's what's unique about human beings. That makes your mother, and hopefully your father, but not always fathers, always mothers, have to love you if they're biochemically healthy. The reason is all women, when they're pregnant, have something called oxytocin that flows in their body. And what this hormone does is it makes this mom have to love the child even when the child is butt ugly, right? Immediately, this child who looks like a lizard is the most attractive thing on the face of the earth. Now, what's interesting, he's got all this fat around him. It's the last time someone will say you're cute when you got fat around you. He burps and it's wonderful. He throws up, it's okay, baby, we love you. Right? Doesn't matter what you do, you are loved. And guess what? It's a good thing. Because all you got to do is make a little noise and everybody jumps to meet your needs. I mean, anything you needed, it was going to show up. When's the last time you felt that way about your life? Right? So what happened was your survival depended upon it. Now, some fathers do leave in various cultures of the world because they don't have oxytocin. Most fathers, the connection, the sense that their life is more significant than themselves, that there's this being that's been brought in the world through them, causes them to be connected. But that's an emotional, spiritual thing. It's not necessarily biochemical. So that's why women, if they're healthy, just don't leave. Now, here's what's interesting. As I said earlier, there's a point when this oxytocin leaves. When that stuff wears off, ooh, the stuff hits the fan, doesn't it? Suddenly, the same stuff you used to do, you get a swat for, or a harsh word, or ignored. You know, suddenly there's all these rules that have to happen before you get love, which is your substance of survival. Think about it. You have to do something significant now. Before you have to do anything, you have to act a certain way, good or bad. If you don't get attention for doing good things as a child, you'll do bad things. And by the way, adults are just big children. So that you have the same patterns at some level. And so what happens is you learn. And by the way, how long is this dependency for most people? It's not like other animals. It's not a few weeks. It's not a few months. It's 5, 10, 15, 20, these days 35 years of total dependency before somebody finally gets it. So we live in a world where we become connection freaks because we know if someone doesn't care for us, if we're not significant enough, if we can't generate enough love, we're not going to survive. So while you may remember having gone to your therapist this one time when your father or mother said something or another child said something or somebody dumped you or they didn't give you the love you deserve, and that's why today you have this inferiority thing. That's why today you have this fear of not being enough. That's why you don't feel love. That's why you can't be intimate. Bull. It's because you're human. All of us have it. Some of us indulge in it. Some of us live there. Other people discipline it and say, when that comes up, hey, here's the truth. I can love myself. Here's the truth. I love my Creator. My Creator loves me. Here's the truth. This problem is not a problem. I just need to reconnect with this person. But you got to understand that this creates a situation in most intimate relationships of pain. Because the minute someone looks like they aren't loving you, or they're not treating you as significant enough, the fear of the loss of love, the fear that you're going to die emotionally, comes up. And what most people do when that fear shows up is they try to get out first. They either try to hurt the other person, because they figure if they can hurt them, they'll be in a position where they won't feel so bad. They take their fear and they push it out. Or they hurt themselves. They go inside and get depressed, feeling like there's nothing they can do and their world's going to end. Or they distract themselves through drugs or alcohol or television or overworking, something else that'll make them feel good in the moment so they don't have to worry about the fact that maybe they feel insignificant. Or they find a big problem and they say, you know, I really would be significant. I really would be worthy of love. That's what they're saying unconsciously, except this thing happened. If it wasn't for this thing, I'd be okay. See, still love me. I have a significant problem. I'll love you. Some people get that love by just giving love to other people even when the person physically abuses them because they're so afraid of losing the feeling that they're significant or loved. At least if I'm being beat, at least if I'm getting attention, maybe there's still a chance for love. Or the achiever's approach. If I make enough money, if I accomplish enough, if I achieve enough, then people will notice I'm important and eventually I'll feel loved. Maybe I'll get the love. It is the basis of the psyche of human beings. So now, since most of us have no clue what's driving us, we have no clue what beliefs and rules are controlling us, and we've modeled most of this as a mismatch of experience that we never really thought through consciously. We've never been through a date with destiny type of program where we help people to find what they want, how they want it, what the rules need to be to achieve what they want and rewire themselves. Most people have no training whatsoever on what's driving them as a human being. They don't know why they do what they do. They just got these, you know, things that they do, and they don't understand it. They're in reaction. They're just trying to get the job done. And you put two of these people together, ooh, and you wonder why we have a situation where there's so much pain out there. Take into account also, you have people, two types of people, males and females, who biochemically are different and therefore think differently. Some males are more feminine in their energy. Some males are more male in their energy. Same thing with women. But those energies have a different focus. Masculine energy is about achieving, completing, breaking through, experiencing freedom. And feminine energy is about connection and love. And we both have both energies in our body. The question is, which one do you develop the most? And they're so different that they by themselves create conflicts.